For those who are wondering, me and Brother Moreno didn't call each other to synchronize our outfits or anything like that. So just in case y'all were wondering. Good morning, Saints. How you doing? Brother Obed is on vacation. He decided to take a day, and I think he went to go visit family and friends in Houston. So we're going to wish and pray that he have a good time there and that he have safe journey back to us so he can continue to be that evangelist that we all love and like. This morning, I'm going to talk about some things and continue on with the theme that the elders have deemed for this quarter from the book of Judges. But before I do, again, I want to thank Brother Obed. First of all, I know we joke around a lot and we tease each other a lot. But, you know, I really do want to thank him for having the confidence in me to be able to come up here and stand and present the word to you this morning. Along with that is that the elders blessed it. So again, I want to thank all of the elders as well and all of you who have continually encouraged me as I continue on my journey in Christ. Now, we've been studying the book of Judges this past quarter. And one of the things that we can highlight from the book of Judges is, and what Brother Obed highlighted last week, is that Judges is one of those books that should never have been written, right? It's a book that it shouldn't even be in the Bible. And, you know, it's a little different from some of the books that we read about that we know that should be in the Bible. And it's good that it is in the Bible, like the Gospel, Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, Book of Acts, and things of that nature that has a good purpose. But the Book of Judges is a little bit different because the Book of Judges shows, like Brother Obed talked about last week, the cycle of apostasy. And those who don't know what apostasy mean, apostasy means to fall away, right? To fall away. And Brother Obed talked about this, and we looked at some of the lessons coming from the book of Judges. But one thing I want you to understand is that a lot of times we tend to read books of the Bible as if it's like a historical document, right? That it doesn't have any type of implications, that doesn't play in our lives today. But the book of Judges, I would say, is one of those books, though it should not have been written or put in the Bible, it's something that each and every one of us can learn from. And my hope is that by the end of this lesson, you can see how the book of Judges is still relevant today. Unfortunately, the book of Judges is still relevant today. So what is the theme of the book of Judges? Turn with me to Judges chapter 17. Judges chapter 17 and verse number 6. In Judges chapter 17 and verse number 6, the Bible reads, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did which was right in his own eyes." Now, the writer of Judges, when we don't know who the author of Judges is, some believe that it was Samuel, but he just didn't write this saying one time, this verse one time. He repeats the same thing at the end of the book. So turn with me to Judges chapter 21 and verse number 25. And it says, again, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did which was right in his own eyes." Now you sit back and think about that, right? Is that the book of Judges and how it relates to the world and what goes on in Christianity today. We have a world that is filled with people doing what they want to do. Do what feels best to you. Don't worry about the consequences. Say and live your own truth. We have a world that's turned upside down. We have a world that is full of sin. And have you ever noticed that when it comes to Christianity, that people, right, they have and they mock Christianity more than any other religion in the world? And you have to ask, why is that? Why is that? Why is Christianity on the radar for so many people in the world? It's because Christianity tells people who they truly are. The Bible tells us who we truly are. And people tend not to like that. And we have a world that's been so corrupt. You know, me and my wife, we were watching a documentary not too long ago, and I can't remember the author. And the documentary was What is a Woman? What is a Woman? And if you ever have a chance, I want you to take a look at a documentary. Because something so basic, right, as to what is a woman. Do you know we have people who so-called scholars, so-called scientists, so-called smart people in the world that could not, they would not give that definition. Why? Because of the things that's going on in the world today. People are so confused as to what gender is. What is a man? What is a woman? And the world is promoting this stuff. Everywhere you look these days, they got athletes competing, boys with girls and girls with boys. Bathrooms, clothing. Everywhere you look, you see it everywhere. And this world is showing us how it goes when they don't keep God in the forefront. When everybody do what is right in their own eyes. And this is what the book of Judges is about. People going around living life how they want to live. What's good and right in your own eyes. So I applaud you. I just beg you today that you pay attention to what's going on in the book of Judges. And as we go through this quarter, because I tell you that even though this book should not have been written, sadly applies to what goes on today. That people want to do what's right in their own eyes. So you ask Brother Brown, how did we get here? You know, how do we get here in the book of Judges? Well, it starts all the way back in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 4. Turn with me real quick. And I know we have people that's been in the Lord's church for a while that understands the promises that God made Abraham. But for those who don't know, I just want to go through this and show you how the children of Israel got to the point where they are in Judges. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, and this is something, if I had my class, Hannah, Braylon, or Haley stand up and ask me, And I asked them the three promises, they would be able to tell you, because I'm constantly preaching this. I'm constantly teaching them about the three promises God made to Abraham. And the book of Judges goes right along with these promises. That is why they called it the Promised Land, because of the promise God made Abraham here in Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible reads, "And the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, to a land which I will show thee." Now, right there, God is making a promise that he was going to give the children of Israel land. So that's one promise. The next promise is that I will make thee a great nation. That's the second promise. "And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and that thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee." And listen, this is the last and one of the biggest promises ever made to mankind. "And in thee, in thy family, all thy families of the earth shall be blessed." Or in thy seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Within that promise is everything you read about the Bible. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, all wrapped up into those three promises. God promised that he was going to make them a great nation. So how did God do this? God told Abraham, he made a promise to Abraham. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob had what? 12 children, the 12 tribes of Israel, right? They had wives, they had children. 70 of those went into Egypt, right? We had Exodus now. They multiply. They become a nation of millions. They are enslaved in Egypt. God raised up who? Moses. Moses delivered, using Moses, delivered them through the Red Sea. And after they left Egypt, they're marching to the Promised Land. But guess what? They fell in sin. And when they fell in sin, God had them march through the wilderness for 40 years. But after that 40 years, now here's the generation we're talking about. And here's we're coming into Judges, right? After that 40 years, they start to go into the promised land. Then you have the book of Joshua. Joshua is showing what the battles of what the battles and all the wars they had to do to clear out the promised land. But by the time you get to the beginning of Judges, Joshua's dead. And now you have the children of Israel here. God has promised them the promised land. And he has delivered on that promise. But he told them that they need to take it. So we're going to see what is going on here and how the book of Judges plays in our lives today. Because God promised them the promised land. And they had to take it by force. God made a promise to us as well. He promised heaven. And we have to work to get it. We have to take it. Meaning being obedient. See, that was the children of Israel and Judges. That was their problem. Is that they weren't obedient. Now, Brother Obed talked about apostasy and the cycle of apostasy and what was going on. Right? He talked about that as they had a leader or a judge. Now, a judge is not a prophet. A judge is more of a military leader. When a judge die, the children of Israel fall back into sin. Then the enemies would come and oppress them. Then they would cry out to God. God would send them another judge. And they'll be faithful to that judge. And when that judge die, and we have the same cycle over and over and over again. 6 or 7 times in the book of Judges. Now, the time span of the book of Judges is about 350 years. About 350 years. And God raised up about 13 or 14 judges. But if you ever read the book of Judges, and hopefully when we go through it this quarter, right? If you ever read the book of Judges, pay attention to what's going on to the children of Israel. That as they go further and further in the book of Judges, the more depraved, the more immoral they become. So much so that by the end of the book of Judges, that the judges themselves were immoral. The book of Judges, when you get towards the end of the book of Judges, in Judges chapter 17 and through Judges chapter 18, you had Levites, the priests, corrupting the people. Judges chapter 19 to Judges chapter 21, you had the same thing. So they got so far in sin, they got so immoral that even those religious leaders were corrupt. So much so that when you read Judges chapter 17, if you have a chance to take it home and read it, when you get to Judges chapter 17 through chapter 21, you're going to read about rape, murder, and civil war. It got so bad. Now, mind you, when the book of Judges started, they were supposed to be fighting their enemies. By the end of the book of Judges, they were fighting themselves. So much so that tens of thousands of people died and the tribe of Benjamin was almost wiped out. This is what happens when God leaves us to our own selves. I can remember as a kid, right, that you know, I would do things and I remember my grandfather always telling me, "Stop doing that, boy. You're going to hurt yourself." But I wouldn't listen. And what would happen? I end up eventually doing something stupid, falling off a ladder, fall out of a tree or something like that, bumping my head. And he would look at me and say, "I told you so." Right? Now, he didn't give me no medical attention. That's why I'm probably messed up now. But he didn't give me no medical attention. He just told me to go sit my butt down. Right? But the thing is that God is a loving God. God, in the book of Judges, and even in our lives today, God is trying to prevent us from hurting ourselves. And that's what he was doing with the children of Israel. He was trying to prevent them from hurting themselves. Why? Because they were living a life without God. So what's the first thing that we can learn from the book of Judges? The first thing we can learn from the book of Judges is that when it comes to the seed of apostasy, if I can get my thing to work, here we go. The first thing that happens is that compromise. Turn with me to Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1. when it comes to seed of apostasy, one thing that starts is compromise. Judges chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 32 through 36. Now, mind you, I want you to understand that in Judges chapter 1, in verse number 1, God is telling the tribe of Judah to go and conquer the promised land, to wipe out the Canaanites, to wipe them all out. So Judah starts on that process. He starts it. He starts his conquest to wipe out the people in the promised land. But look what happens when we get to verse number 32. Now, this is the tribe of Asher and the following tribes. In verse number 32, it says, "But the Asherites dwelled among the Canaanites and inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Beth Hanah. But he dwelt among the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Hanah became tributaries unto them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. But the Amorites would dwell in the Mount of Arius and Ayalon and into Shebem. Yet the hands of the house of Joseph prevailed, so they did all that they also became tributaries. And the coast of the Amorites was from the going up of Akrabim from the rock and upwards." So what was going on here is that you start off with the book of Judges, right? You start off the book of Judges in Judges chapter 1. God is telling Judah to go conquer the land. Judah is on his way, conquering the land. But by the time you get to the other tribes, Asher, Dan, Naphtali, when you get to the other tribes, they failed to drive out the people. Not only did they fail to drive out the people, they compromised with them. They compromised. This is what the world wants from Christianity. The thing is that what they want is they want acceptance. They want you to accept them the way that they are. And my thing is that, and I would tell anybody, murderers, thieves, homosexual, transgender, all are welcome in the body of Christ. They're welcome. Because each and every one of you, if you sit back and you look at your neighbor on each side, every last one of us are sinners. Every last one of us. So they're welcome. God will welcome them. But you have to deny yourself. You have to deny yourself. See, they want you to come and just accept them who they are. We will accept them. But you have to deny. Just as Christ died for you, you have to now die for Christ. You have to give up your life. You have to recognize the way that you were going was not the right path. But too many times we got people in the world compromising, even in the Lord's church. We got so much foolishness going on in the Lord's church, it doesn't make any sense. They're compromising. Why? So the numbers can grow. They're compromising on the word of God so their numbers can grow. Or they can gain money in their pockets. God didn't call us to compromise. He called us to love and tell them the truth. Those people out there are no better than us by ourselves. The reason why we're better is because of Jesus. That's the reason why. So are we going to compromise on the very person that saved us? And this is what they were doing in Judges. These are the same people that saw the Red Sea part. They saw God perform all these miracles in the desert. These generations saw all of these things. And the first thing they did when God gave them, the promised land, was compromise. Too many times, brethren, we're compromising. Now, I know today is what they call a holy day, right? Where people are celebrating a pagan holiday called Easter. You see everybody in the nice fancy suits, and sadly you see children in the little girls in the nice dresses and the Easter baskets. None of that is coming from Scripture. None of that. Same with Christmas. But do you know we have brethren within our congregation that's compromising on that? Compromise. Turn with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I'm reading verses 1 through 6. Now, this is Paul, and he's writing to the church at Galatia, right? The churches at Galatia. But here's the thing, is that right now Paul is addressing issues, what's going on there within the congregation, right? You had Christian brethren, which were Jews, that were trying to force Gentiles to be circumcised. So Paul is addressing this issue. And now Paul is addressing and trying to defend his own apostleship. But anyway, in verse number 1, it says, then 14 years after I went up again into Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me, when I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles were privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had ran in vain. Neither Titus, who was with me, being a Gentile or Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of the false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, and they might bring us into bondage. Now look at verse number 5. To whom we gave place by subjection. Paul said, no. We didn't heed him. We didn't compromise. Not only that, he says, not for an hour, not for a minute. Now, again, these are Christian brethren, Jews, Paul is talking to. He said, we're not going to compromise, not for 1 minute. And they were trying to get those Gentiles that was in the church to be circumcised. And Paul was not having it. Yeah, I know we have elders, and they're overseeing the congregation. But what about you? Are you willing to compromise? Are you compromising on your job? Are you compromising in school, teenagers? Or are you compromising in your home? We can't afford to compromise. One of the seeds of apostasy is compromise. They compromise with those nations around them. And what happened is those nations end up oppressing them. See, that's what happens. Once you accept them, once they get a foothold in the door, it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. So the next seed of apostasy is influence. You know, and I talk about influence a lot because if you look at the entire story or the entire history of the Israelites, that was their downfall. They always let other nations influence them. Every single time. Ever since God brought them out of Egypt, they always was looking around to other nations, thinking that what the other nations had was better than what they got. Now, they had the God of this world on their side. They were God's chosen people. And yet, they were looking at other nations and their gods. They were being influenced. You know, influence is a weird thing because you don't actually have to physically exist to have influence. And I say this all the time, is that a child like Constance has a child right now that's being ready to be born. And I'm pretty sure that her and George are being influenced by that child that's not even born in the world yet. How about we are influenced by people that are already dead. We have our forefathers of this country, people that have died and still have influence. Jesus Christ has influence on us today. So you don't have to be physically existing to have influence. Influence can come before you were born and after you're born. It's a powerful thing because it's something that you can't really see. And that is what's going on, is that they're trying to influence us in each and every way. But we can't compromise. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 1-5. Now this is God, and he's talking to that generation that is going to be going to the promised land, right? And listen what God tells them. And when the Lord thy God shall bring thee out into the land, he's talking about the promised land, which thou shalt go out to possess it, and thou had cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, Geshurites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thy. Now watch what God tells them. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show them unto mercy unto them. Neither shall thou make marriages with them, thy daughters, thou shalt not be given unto thy sons, nor nor his sons shall give to thy nor his daughters given to thy sons, for they will turn away thy son from me, from following me, that they may serve other gods, so will the anger of the Lord kindle against you and destroy thee suddenly. Now this is God telling them before they go into the promised land, before you get to the book of Judges, God is telling them, don't do it. Don't do it. But what did they let those nations do? They compromised and let those nations influence them. How do I know that they did that? Now, pay attention to what we just read. Now, go with me, right? Go with me to Judges. I want to show you something real quick. Go with me to Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even many as the children of Israel had not known all the wars of Canaan. Only that generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them war at the least such before knew nothing thereof. Now watch this, right? It says, namely, five lords, the Philistines and all of the Canaanites that dwelled in dwell with the Sidonians, the Hivites that dwelled in the land of Lebanon from the mount of Baal-Hermon, and unto the entering of Hamath. Now watch this here. And they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they have hearkened unto the commands of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Now watch this, y'all. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. In verse number 6. And he took daughters to be wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served what? Their gods. They were influenced. They compromised. These are seeds of apostasy. They allow these things to happen. And what ended up eventually happened? They fell away from God. They allowed that influence. God asks us to be separate. We should be separate from the world, y'all. We don't need to be acting like the world. The world needs to be acting like us. We can't allow them to influence us. We need to be influencing them. And when we will allow that negative influence to come in, what will happen is that it will tear up the church. Just as it done with the children of Israel here in Judges. It caused them to fall away. It caused them to fall in sin. So not only did they have compromise and influence, but lastly, difficulty. See, that's one of the main seeds of apostasy, is when difficulty hit. Turn with me to Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1 and verse number 18. Now, mind you, I want you to understand that like I said before, in Judges chapter 1 and verse number 1 and following, God has told Judah to go conquer the promised land. And they're doing it. They're doing what God told them to do. Now, watch what happens when you get to verse number 18. Judges chapter 1 and verse number 18. And Judah took Gaza, which was a coast thereof, and Ashkelon, and the coast thereof, and Akron, which was coast thereof. And the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the inhabitants of the mountains. But listen here. But could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb. And the Lord said, as Moses said, and he expelled these, the three sons of Anak. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited in Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwelt with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem until this day. Now notice that Judah started out strong, right? He goes into the promised land and he's doing what God told them to do. But then you get to verse number 19, the end of verse number 19, they had some difficulty. Because the enemy that they were fighting had chariots of iron. So instead of seeking the Lord for assistance, what did they do? They fell away. They gave up. You see, saints, a lot of times when it comes to us in our Christian lives, we love God as long as things going good. God is I love God. But when difficulty hit, we tend to fall away. At the time when we should be drawing nearer to God, we tend to fall away. So we treat God as if somebody that long as you do good by me, I'm going to follow you. But when difficulty hit in our lives, we fall away. And this was what was going on with the children of Israel, is that when they faced difficulties in battle, they realized that they could not defeat them by themselves. And they were right. They couldn't defeat them by themselves. But if they just sought God. Today, we cannot defeat the world and the devil by ourselves. We have to put on the whole armor of God. We have to rely our strength on God. We can't do it by ourselves. Everybody knows that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10 and following. Our power, our strength is in God. He will fight our battles. But when difficulty hits, we fall away. Now, let me show you my last illustration. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And see, one thing beautiful about God is that he tells you what this thing is all about. He tells you when you become a Christian that this life is not for the faint of heart. He tells you this life is going to be difficult. Why? Because every example we have in the New Testament, nobody lived a life that was just all roses and everything were good in their lives. Nobody. Even Christ himself. But yet we tell ourselves these fantasies that as long as, you know, if I believe in God and my life is going good, I should not have any problems in the world. But this is not what God is telling us in the book of Hebrews. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, and before I get there, let me give you a run-up of what's going on here. In Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse number 38 and 39, the Hebrew writer is telling us what God is not pleased with, what kind of faith God is not pleased with, and that is people that fall away. God is not, the whole book of Hebrews is about that. The people in the book of Hebrews were being persecuted, being thrown down the street, being put in jail. Some were dying. And God said, don't turn away. Don't turn away. Stay faithful. So about you get to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 38 and 39, it tells us God is not pleased with that kind of faith. Then you get to Hebrews chapter 11. Everybody knows that famous chapter, right? God tells us what faith is. And he gives us examples of those who had extraordinary faith. But by the time you get to chapter 12, he shows us how that faith is developed. First, he shows us what faith is not. Then he shows us example of what faith is. And when we get to chapter 12, he gives us example how faith is developed. And in verse number 1, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, I want to read this real quick. Whereabout we seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, our author and finisher of our faith, who for joy that has set before us, him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Paul is giving an example of a race. And he's giving an illustration of you running. And when he talks about, in verse number 1, he talks about the great cloud of witnesses. He's talking about those heroes that we can read about in Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham. David. Noah. All these people we read about in chapter 11, he's saying they're watching you run your race. Now, as you run in on that track, he says, take off anything that's going to beset you. You're not going to run a race and put on a flak vest or something heavy, or a backpack, something heavy. You're going to take off anything that's heavy. And you're going to run your race. And he tells us that Christ is the author and finisher. He is the one that we should be looking to when we're running this race. But the thing is about this race is that if you get a chance, I want you to read verses 3 through verse number 11. We don't have time today, but in verse 3 through verse number 11, God tells us how faith is developed. And he calls it discipline. God disciplines us. He allows things, difficulties to happen in our lives to discipline us. So as we're running this race and we're running around a track, we fall into difficulties. We have obstacles in front of us. We face difficulties. Do we turn back and walk off the track? God said, no. Keep running. Keep running. See, God allows these things, these difficulties to come into our lives to strengthen us. Because once we pass one obstacle, we feel better. We are stronger. On to the next. But here's the illustration I want to show you in verse number 12 and following. Now, you're running your race. You've been running for years. We got some in this congregation been running for a long time. Brother Joe Gomez. Right, we have people that have been running for a long time, and some are tired. But watch this illustration. Where in verse number 12, wherefore lift up your hands that hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight your path with your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. He's giving an illustration of a tired runner. When you're tired and you're running, what do? You like this right here. Hands falling down. Knees are crooked. You're walking kind of funny. He says, straighten up. It's expected to be tired. It's expected to face difficulties. It's expected to be hurting. But God tells us, straighten up. Straighten up. But so many times when we face difficulties, what do? We walk right off the track. And one thing about apostasy, you know, it's rarely in apostasy when it happens that, you know, there's rare times where something happened and people just immediately just fall away. a lot of times it's gradual. A lot of times it's gradual. Where you used to come all the time, you start to go, you know, maybe I'm not going to go today. Maybe I just, instead of morning service, maybe I go to evening service. Wednesday, I don't know about Wednesday. I catch another Wednesday. I can't make it this week. Maybe I get in there in the next couple weeks. And eventually, you drift away. See, these are seeds of apostasy. This is what happens. And this is what happened to the children of Israel. Why? Because they compromised. Why? Because they were influenced. And why? Because they faced difficulties. And each and everything that I just said is something that each and one of you are faced with today. So do you are going to allow those seeds of apostasy to grow? Or are you going to be like the children of Israel and Judges? So I beg each and every one of you, pay attention. Pay attention to the study that we have in this quarter. Because it plays in each and every one of our lives today. And lastly, Brother Obed said that another reason why is because the children that grew up did not know God. I myself, the elders, Brother Obed, have implored people to be teachers. This young generation, we're one generation from apostasy. This young generation is important. We have to teach our children. And if they don't obey, that's up to them. But we have to teach our children. If you care about this church, if you care about your brothers and sisters in Christ, teach the young. Because they're going to be the next generation. So this next generation in this congregation, a body of believers, are they going to be the generation that know the Lord or not? Or are they going to be a generation that compromise? Or are they going to be a generation that be influenced by the world? Or are they going to be a generation that when difficulty happens, they fall away? Again, these are seeds of apostasy. So we see that this book of Judges is rich. Rich with lessons. Rich with things that we can learn from and apply to our lives today. But it's a book that should never have been written. About your life. You've been blessed. God has given you all the blessings, spiritual blessings in the world. Is it going to come to naught? Are you going to be like the children of Israel? Maybe we have some that's in our midst that don't have a relationship with God. And they've been part of the world. They've been on the outside like those nations. And they want to be a part of that tribe that God told them to go and conquer the promised land. Maybe you want to get into your promised land, which is heaven. Well, God tells us what we need to do. We need to believe that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for us. That he died, that he rose, and he lives. Then you recognize, hey, I was going down the wrong path. I need to make a change. That's when you repent. Then you need to confess as Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And lastly, the way you put on Christ is to put on him in the watery grave of baptism. Not that the water saves, but the Bible tells us that is where you impact the blood of Christ by putting him on in baptism. But maybe you're one of among us that let the seeds of apostasy rule in your life, and that you're feeling yourself slip away. You're seeing yourself fall away. Come back into the fold. Just like they did back in Judges, they repented. And guess what? We have a loving God that is faithful and loving, and he will forgive you. So if we have any of those individuals that's in our mix today, please come up as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Come to the feast, come.